Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be here this morning. Are you glad to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, we've had a time already in the presence of the Lord. Had a great service. Plan on sharing briefly with you today, but before I do, how many of you like the Word? You love the Word. You just love the Word of God. You know, the Word of God has surely been, somebody said, inspired of God and not of men. For no powerful eloquence of man could ever conceive its wondrous plan. Withstanding all the test of time, it stands unique, supreme, sublime. Proving to every tongue and race God's wisdom, mercy, love, and grace. All efforts to destroy are vain. God's holy word will yet remain. Hammer on, you hostile hands. Your hammers will break, but God's anvil will stand. See, when we look into the Word of God this morning, we're not looking into the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year, but we're looking into God's holy, immutable, infallible Word. Amen? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word shall not pass away. I exhorted the church earlier, the first service, and basically just shared a little bit of the Word with them. And so I'm going to do the same with you before we move on. But the Bible tells us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, but sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, to serve the Lord with gladness, to come before his presence with singing. To know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Can I get a witness in this house? The Bible says to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts and praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with a psaltery and the harp. Praise him with a timbrel and a dance. Praise him upon the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals and the high sounding cymbals. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, let some men in the house praise God. Let some women in the house praise God. Let some young people in the house praise God. Do I have any old people in the house want to praise God? The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That means everybody ought to be praising God, amen? White folks ought to praise God. Black folk ought to praise God. Yellow folk ought to praise God. Indian folk ought to praise God. All God's people ought to be praising God this morning. I just want you to join with me. And can we give Jesus a praise in the house? Come on, put your hands together and just bless the Lord. Oh, God, we love you. We bless you. We praise you, oh, God. This is all about you, Lord. This is all about you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for my son and my daughter. Father God, thank you for Jamie and Kelly. Lord, for allowing us to be connected. God, I just want to say they are a bright spot on our radar. And Father God, they are a bright light in the history of our lives. And Father, we thank you, Lord, not just for our spiritual son and daughter, but for our grandchildren. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord God. Father, you've been so good to us. Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. You appreciate this couple this morning? Amen. Amen. I want to let you know that you guys are ridiculous. You are. You guys are ridiculous. You're ridiculous in the sense that, man, it's COVID. You know it's COVID? You feel it's COVID. Now, it's not over in Missouri, but it is here. And and can I let you, I mean, I go to a lot of churches. I'm in almost a different church every week, and I just want to let you know, every church I go into, they're all on the decline. I mean, all of the churches I go into, they're about 30% of what they normally are. And you folks are about 140% of what you normally are. I mean, you guys are ridiculous. That's awesome. And then I come in and we're about ready. We've already broken ground, about ready to build a new building. And can I say, every church reflects leadership. And the reason you guys are where you are is because of the leaders that you have. And I think, again, and I know this month is Pastor's Appreciation Month. And so I brought a check for you. I wrote you a check this morning. And as I wrote the check, I was ready to come and give it to you because I want to be the first to sow into your lives. These folks going to have the chance next week, I think. But I wrote a check. And as I was getting ready to come on in here to give you the check, the Spirit of God said, you need to double that. And so I doubled it for Kelly's sake. And so Jamie, Kelly, I want to give you a check. And then I want to sow into the building. I want to give to the building as well because I think this is good soil. And I know that so many of you have made pledges and you're making pledges and you're considering making pledges and all of that stuff. But here's what I found. I'm from Nebraska, as you can see. And we are a corn state. And if there's anything we have discovered, it's you get whatever you plant, right? You plant corn, you get corn. You plant apples, you get apples. You plant whatever, you get. And so when you plant in good soil, but you got to plant in good soil. As you plant in good soil, you're going to receive a return. And so I know that this is good soil, and I just want to be the first to sow into it. So, Kelly, come on up here. You don't have to worry about giving him any of this, but no, I'm just kidding. I love this couple, and if you love them, give them one more hand. Amen. Love you guys. Amen. And it's always a privilege for me to come and share the Word of God with you. I want to say thank you on behalf of our ministry. Some of you know that our ministry is primarily to Native American people. Pastor Jamie introduced me, and he said, Pastor Dobie Weasel. And some of you thought, what? No, that's not his name. And I need to let you know, it is my name, and I'm proud of it. And it's a Native American name. My real name, my given name, was it should be Dobie Intugas Aheyuke, because that's the way we say it in our language. But when the government agent came to my reservation back in my great grandfather's day, and they asked him what his name was, and he said Intugas Aheyuke, which meant a little fierce, little fighting animal. That's what it means. And he said, and obviously, how do you spell Intugas Aheyuke? First of all. But then he thought, okay, little fierce fighting animal, weasel. Could have been Wolverine, could have been Badger. So at any rate, here we are, and just, again, so glad to be here. Our ministry is primarily among Native people. We have 5.3 million Native people in the U.S. and Canada. Less than 3% are born again. So we've got over 5 million Native people that still need Jesus. And being that I'm Native, and I've traveled throughout Native land for the last 35 years, we feel poised at this stage in our life to make a significant impact in Native land. And so we're concentrated upon reaching Native people. I shared with you last time I was here how that I got a call from my former chief who informed me that we had a suicide epidemic on my reservation, a little reservation up in north central Montana called Fort Belknap. And he called me. He said, Dobie, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but we have had 46 suicides in the last 18 months. And most of them were 26 to 14, from 14 to 26. And he said, we just don't know what to do. We've declared a state of emergency, and I just think it would be good if you could come and speak to our tribal council and see what you can do to help, because we are at our wits' ends. We don't know what to do. And so I went up there and sat down with them, and we devised a strategic plan, and we brought some personnel onto the reservation to speak in the schools, and we got some people praying. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? We got some people praying, and I have a friend of mine who's connected to a Chinese prayer network of about 100,000 intercessors, Chinese intercessors. So we plugged into that. And from the time we went there last September till today, now they had 46 suicides in the span of 18 months, which is about a suicide every 10 days, about every week and a half. And from that time till this, from the time we went in there and the people started praying, from that time until this, they have not had one suicide. Now, that's amazing. I mean, I look at that. That's amazing. They've not had one suicide, and they've only had one suicide attempt, and that wasn't successful. So we give God all the praise. Amen? Hallelujah. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. So don't stop praying. If you're praying for somebody, if you're praying for an unsaved loved one, if you're praying for healing, Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 18, and I'm just visiting. Is that okay if I just visit with you for a little bit? I mean, I get here once a year, so we'll get out this afternoon sometime. So I'm just kidding. And so Jesus told a story of a guy who was sleeping, right? Luke chapter 18, guy was sleeping, got a knock on his door. He was an Indian guy. You say, how do you know he's an Indian guy? Because his friend came to him at midnight. No white folks go to your house at midnight. Just Indians go to your house at midnight. And so the guy was asleep, right? And he was asleep, and he said, hey, go away, go away. You know the story. And the guy kept knocking. The guy said, get out of here. I'm asleep. I'm in bed with my children. That's how you know he's an Indian as well, because Indian kids sleep with their parents. But anyway, that's a whole nother deal. And he kept on knocking. And finally he got up, right? And he answered the door. And Jesus said, he wouldn't answer the door because he was his friend, but because of the King James says, his importunity. Basically, his stubborn pig-headedness, right? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I think you're importunate. No, don't do that. But he said basically because of his stubbornness, he'll get up and he'll give him. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, keep knocking. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And understand, listen, I know we look at that and we go, Jesus was teaching that we should do that so that God will answer our prayers, because we need to keep on knocking on God's door. And Jesus was making a comparison of this guy with God. And that's not what Jesus was doing at all. You know, Jesus was not comparing this guy who was asleep with the Father, because God never sleeps. Jesus was not comparing this guy who had to continue hearing the knock to get up and to come with the Father, because God's. Jesus wasn't making a comparison. He was making a contrast. He was saying, if this guy gets up, how much more will your Heavenly Father hear your prayers if you continue to ask him? Amen? Amen. So, at any rate, we better get into the Word this morning. If you've got your Bibles and would like to turn there, I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Joshua. And we're going to read Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. We're going to read through verse 24. And I want to speak to you upon the subject, famous last words. Somebody say famous last words. Now, as we look at Joshua chapter 24, as you're getting there, you say, where is the book of Joshua? Read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Sixth book of the Bible. If you're starting in the book of Genesis, turn to Joshua chapter 24, which is the last chapter in the book. So this is the end of the book. And Joshua is at the end of his life, okay? If you don't know who Joshua is, Joshua was a young man in Egypt when a guy by the name of Moses came out of the wilderness and basically through the power of God brought the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt out into the wilderness. How many of you tracking with me so far? Come on, you got to talk to me. All my friends talk to me. If you're not talking to me, we're in trouble. So somebody say amen. Okay, so they brought them out into the wilderness, and Moses is leading, and Joshua is his the Bible says in one place it's his servant, but it's his aide, it's his assistant, and so for 55 years Joshua has served Israel. He walked with Moses for 40 years. Moses died. He brought them into the promised land, and for 15 years they entered into the promised land, and they possessed the promised land. They possessed the city of Jericho. They possessed all the inhabitants around, and now God has given them the promised land, and he's at the end of his life. He's at the end of his life, and he brings them to a place called Shechem. Now, this is literally it's his last words to Israel. Kind of like the guy, right? The guy who was sentenced to be executed by guillotine, having his head chopped off. And I don't know if you heard about the story, but there were three guys. There was a Canadian, there was a Frenchman, and there was an American. And so they were executed to be, they were scheduled to be executed on the same day. So they brought the Frenchman and they asked him, "Do you have any last words?" And as the French do, he stood there staunchly and he looked at them and he said, "No." So they took him, put his head down on the guillotine. The executioner pulled the lever and the blade came down and it stopped like 3 inches from his neck. And they looked at one another. They said, "This is a miracle. This is a miracle. Obviously, this man is innocent of the charge in which he has been charged, and we must let him go." So they let the Frenchman go. They brought the Canadian. Same thing. They put his head down. They pulled the lever. The blade came down, stopped 3 inches from his neck. They said, "Again, this is a miracle. He must be innocent from the charge to which he has been charged. We need to let him go." And so they let him go. Then they bring the American. And you know how we Americans, we know everything. And they said, "Do you have any last words?" He must have been from Illinois. "Do you have any last words?" He said, "Yeah. I've been watching this process. And I think if you put a little bit of oil right there..." How many of you know those were his famous last words? Well, these are the last words of Joshua. And Joshua brings them to this place called Shechem. Now, if you don't know anything about Shechem, Shechem is to Israel like Plymouth Rock would be to most Americans. I mean, it's a place where of memorial. It's a place where God did something significant. And it's the place where a guy by the name of Abraham came and stood. And God said, "Take a look to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west." He said, "Every place you see, I'm going to give it to you." It's a place of promise. It's a place where they brought the bones of Abraham, and there they buried him in Shechem. It's a place where Jacob, he dug his well. It's a place where Jacob's well is. So it's sacred to Israel. And he brings them to this place. And in chapter 24, beginning in verse 14, if you're there, say, "I'm there." If you're ready, say, "Let's go." Let me read it for you and read it with you. It says, "Now therefore," this is Joshua speaking, "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Somebody say, "Fear the Lord." Say it like you mean it. "Fear the Lord. And serve him." Somebody say, "Serve him." Now notice it says, "Serve him in sincerity." That word sincerity literally means wholeheartedly. So serve him in sincerity and in truth. "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Somebody say that with me. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Say it again. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How many of you have made that decision? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We just pray this morning for the next couple of moments. Help me to bring forth your word in a manner, Lord, that would be applicable for your people. Lord, I pray for these young people. That, Lord, their minds would not be going a thousand different directions. But, Father, I pray today that you would arrest every one of us. And that, Father, we would hear what the Spirit of God says to the church today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. This morning, as we take a look at Joshua chapter 24, there are three things that I want to share with you. Three things that I see in Joshua's counsel or Joshua's charge to the people. Number one, he gives them a choice. Somebody say a choice. The second thing is he gives them his counsel. Somebody say counsel. And the last thing is he gives them a challenge. Somebody say choice, counsel, and challenge. Where do you see the word choice? So I see the word choice right there where he says, choose you this day who you will serve. See, Joshua understood that our decisions determine our destiny. And whatever you choose today is what you will be tomorrow. You show me your friends, I'll show you who you are. Because you've chosen the people that you hang out with. You see, Joshua knew that our choice is very powerful. And he said, choose you this day who you will serve. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you haven't made a choice for Jesus, it's time to make a choice. It's time to get in. It's time to get on board. It's time to go where you know God wants you to go because God has a plan for your life. The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, says God. They're good plans, not evil plans. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. The Bible says that you were created by God and for his good pleasure. Before you were formed in your mama's womb, God knew you. God ordained a path and a purpose for your life. Everybody in this place, God has a purpose and God has a plan. But we must make the choice. And I love it how he says, choose you this day. Now, if I'm in the congregation, if I'm sitting out where you are, and this guy's up here, Joshua, and he's talking about choosing this day who you're going to serve, and here's my deal. I mean, I'm out here with you, right? And I'm listening to Joshua. And I'm going, come on, man. Come on, Joshua. Yeah. And he says, choose you this day. My question is, hey, wait. Joshua, I've been walking with you for like 40 years. And I remember when we came out of Egypt. I remember when we stood at the Red Sea. We stood at the Red Sea and some people wanted to go back. And Moses said, stand back and see the salvation of God. And he lifted the rod and whoa, the Red Sea was parted. And we walked across on dry ground. Remember that? And we got over there. And as we got over there, Miriam grabbed the tambourine and we started worshiping and praising God. Hey, Joshua, I remember back then. I chose to serve God back then. Or wait. How about when we got to Jericho? When we got to Jericho and the walls were 40 feet high and 10 feet thick and 17 armies had come up to that point in history and 17 armies had been turned away and God called us to take this most formidable fortress before we entered into the promised land. And Joshua, we didn't know what to do, but God said to march around those walls once a day for 6 days, then on the seventh day to march around seven times. And Joshua, I remember marching around. And we marched around seven times that seventh day, and we shouted a shout, and the walls came down. And Joshua, I chose to serve God back then. Joshua, I chose at the Red Sea. Joshua, I chose at Jericho. Joshua, I chose when we took Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites. I chose back then. And Joshua would look at us, and he would say, listen, it's not enough to make a commitment 40 years ago or 30 years ago or 20 years ago. It's not even enough to make a commitment last week or yesterday. We need to choose today that we're going to serve God with all of our hearts. Choose you this day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be today. If you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So number one, he says, choose you this day. Have you chosen today? Have you chosen today? Well, if you choose today, that's great, but you got to choose tomorrow too. And then you got to choose the day after that and the day after that. And every day you've got to get up and you've got to say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So choose this day. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, choose today. So first of all, he says, choose today. Choose today. Choose today. Now,
He says choose today, but he doesn't just say choose today. He says choose today who you will serve. Did you see that? Choose today who you will serve. I think sometimes we act like he said, choose today if you will serve. There's no if in there. Choose this day who you will serve. Can I submit something to you this morning? You're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve the devil. You're going to serve the Lord. You're going to be a child of light or a child of darkness. You're going to be on the road that leads to destruction or the road that leads to life. You can't be in the middle. He did not say choose you this day if. He said choose you this day who. Woo, come on, somebody. Oh, I know we act like there's this middle road. Well, I don't want to be on fire for God. I want to run my own life. I want to call my own shots. I want to do my own thing. I like to do what I do, when I do it, how I do it. I don't want mama to tell me about it. Come on, somebody. So I want to be in charge of my life. So I'm not going to serve Jesus, but I'm not going to serve the devil. Right? Who wants to serve the devil? None of us. I don't want to serve the devil. So I'm not really going to serve Jesus, but I don't want to serve the devil. So God, can you just let me sit on the fence? I just sit right here, right on this little fence here. Look, honey. I hate to bust your bubble, but there ain't no fence. Ain't no fence. Ain't no fence. If you're not in over here, you're in over there. Jesus said there are only two ways. There are only two roads. There are only two kinds of people. There were children of darkness and children of light. There was a broad road that led to destruction and a straight and narrow road that leads to life. There are only children of God and children of the devil. And if you're not a child of God, oh my gosh. This is way too heavy for me this morning. I want to just, let's go have coffee. But it's true, right? And Joshua brings him to this place, and it's most sacred and holy, and it's the last moments of his life, and this is the last sermon he was ever going to preach. And he got up there, and he said, listen, I'm not going to hold any punches because I love you so much. And God has so much in store for you. And God wants to bless you so much that you can't afford to waste one more moment living outside the plan and the purpose of God. You just can't. God's got so much for you. And so he said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. And then he gave him his counsel. His counsel was fear the Lord. Somebody say fear the Lord. We don't talk about fearing God anymore. Fear the Lord. And I know you guys have been dealing with some pretty heavy stuff. So I don't want to be even more heavy. But this is God's word. And he says, fear the Lord. Serve him with all sincerity. And put away the idols. Wait. Joshua. What idols? Well, the ones that your father served on the other side in Egypt and the ones you picked up from the Amorites around here. Well, how long has it been since we've been in Egypt? 55 years. You mean for 55 years we've been walking around with idols in our back pocket? Uh-huh. And it's time to put them away. You see, there are those little things that we put in ahead of God. Maybe it's your boyfriend. Maybe it's your girlfriend. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your reputation. I don't know what you're putting ahead of God, but he says, put away the idols. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly and fear him. I don't like talking about the fear of God. No preacher likes talking about the fear of God, but it's in the Bible. See, then we could skip over that and say, love the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Worship the Lord
and serve him wholeheartedly. Or let's put in another nice word there so I don't have to look you in the eye and say, God says to fear him. Whew. We don't talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. And so I study it out and I say, oh, it doesn't really mean fear. It means to reverence. That's a little better. It means to hold God in awe. That's, I can do that. Because I don't think God really wants us to be afraid of him. Although if we need to be afraid of him, dude, we better be afraid of him. Right? Because he's got the power to throw us into hell. Right? And there's a real hell. And we don't talk about that real hell, but there's a real hell. And so Joshua says, fear the Lord. Man, the fear of God is a good thing. I mean, I don't know what it was like when you first came to church. Maybe this is your first time you ever were in church. I don't know. But I can remember the first time I went to church, I was like 5 years old. You understand, I wasn't raised in a church home. I was raised in an alcoholic home. Mom was an alcoholic. She had 9 children from 7 different guys. Okay? So mom was out there. And I remember the first time I ever went to church. I was watching Captain Kangaroo in my Fruit of the Looms. I was just a little guy. Some of you remember Captain Kangaroo. So I was watching Captain Kangaroo in my Fruit of the Looms eating peanut. Captain Crunch. I remember eating peanut Captain Crunch, and there's a knock on the door. I got up, my Fruit of the Looms answered the door, and this is the only way I can say it. Please don't get offended, but there was a white woman at the door. Listen, we never had white people come visit us. The only white woman ever came was the caseworker to see that I wasn't being abused. Hello. And so I didn't know what to do, and I just shut the door. I thought the caseworker came to get me. And mom said, who is it? I said, I don't know, some white woman, caseworker probably. She answered the door. She's a church lady. Hallelujah. Church woman, come knock on the door. She said, you have any children who want to go to Sunday school? And I was standing there. Mom said, yeah, we do. You know who she was talking about. Man, she got me dressed. She shoved me out the door. I still had stuff in my eyes. And, you know, my hair is probably all over. And I got on the church bus with all the other street urchins. Put me on the bus. We went to this little tiny church. I mean, it probably wasn't even as big as this room. And had an upstairs and a downstairs. We went downstairs. And as we went downstairs, it was the coolest experience I'd ever had, like, in my life. Because we went down there. We drank red Kool-Aid and we ate cookies. Come on, Sunday school. They taught me a Bible lesson about this shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of them left the flock, and he went to find the one. And they had these cutouts, man, of these sheep, and they stuck them on this green board. Whoa, technology, man. Right? How many of you remember flannel graphs? Yeah. And we sang these cool songs like, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the... And they had actions, man. And I was riding, and I was flying, and I was shooting, and I was in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! Yeah. They had a memory verse. Can I tell you what the memory verse was? Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after this... the judgment. That will freak a 5-year-old out. The judgment. Dude, I left that church that day. I'm not kidding you. We went upstairs. They took the street urchins, put them on the back row. And for that last half of the service, I was watching the preacher. And somewhere between the time the preacher was preaching and we came upstairs and we left, I was watching the preacher. And it went from being the preacher on the platform to me. I saw myself preaching the gospel. I didn't know what it meant, but I saw myself down there. That day, they brought us out, and they brought us down the stairs and out to the bus. And I remember waiting to get on the bus, and I got to the sidewalk, and I was about ready to get to the bus, and I turned around, and I looked at that church. And above that church, there was this huge hand about the size of this room. And I think that day God put his hand upon my life. Because there were times when I was slinging weed, there were times when drug deals went bad and I had guns up to my head. I've had knives up to my throat. I mean, I should be dead today, but God put his hand upon me because somebody dared to invite me to church. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Man, I'd go to a party. And I'd be sitting in the party, we'd be smoking dope and drinking booze, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes sit next to me. And he'd say, hey, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Man, I wouldn't want to hear that. And that would ruin the party for me. Holy Ghost knows how to ruin a good party. I just want to let you know that. Yeah. I mean, I'd be smoking. I'd be with my friends, man. We'd be doing our thing, and the Holy Ghost be walking beside me. And he'd say, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I remember one day, several years later, I was with my friends. We were out smoking dope and drinking booze like we always did. And I started thinking to myself, as that scripture came to me, what if we get in a car wreck today and I die? Where am I going to go? And I knew where I was going. I was going straight to hell. Do not pass gold. Do not collect $200. And we went, we parked out of town, and my brother John rolled up a joint, and he handed it to me, and he said, here you go. Don't be afraid of me. He said, I'm getting closer. The closer I get, she's doing this. It's a fear of God. I'm just kidding. And so, I'm not going to hurt you. I'll hurt him, but I won't hurt you. And so here I am. Man, I'm out smoking dope and drinking booze. I start thinking to myself, I'm going to die. My brother rolls up a joint. He hands it to me. He said, here you go. Now, those words are nothing but under the anointing and the conviction of the Holy Ghost. It was like somebody putting a gun up to my head saying, here you go. You're going to die. Hands started sweating. My heart started pounding. I got out of that car, and I knelt down behind that car. And I said, God, if you're real, and if you can change my life, and make me a testimony to my friends and family, because I don't want to die and go to hell, and I don't want them to die and go to hell. And God, if you can change my life and change it and make me a testimony, please change my life. And brother, what's your name? Mike, brother Mike. Brother Mike, I can't explain it. It's been over 40 years. It's been over 40 years ago since that little Indian kid knelt down behind that car and prayed that prayer. And God reached down and God touched me, man. And God killed me. In the same moment he killed me, he raised me from the dead, a new creature in Christ. And man, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Bro, I got up and the sky was bluer, the grass was greener, the old Dobie Weasel died, and there was a new Dobie Weasel. Hallelujah. That was alive. Yeah. Why? Why? Because the Holy Ghost was hunting me down. The Holy Ghost was dogging me. The Holy Ghost wouldn't let me go. It's appointed unto man once to die. But man, the Word of God's powerful, folks. That was just one seed. The Word of God's like a seed, right? The sower went forth to sow. Some sow among the thorny ground, some among the rocky, some among the good soil, some fell on the wayside. It's like seed. It's like seed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Why do you think you have to try to persuade somebody? Why do you think that the power of your presentation is going to change anybody's life? It's not the power of persuasion. It's not your eloquent words. It's you taking that little seed and planting it in somebody's life. And that little seed has life within it. I can take a seed and I can sow it on a parking lot. And that little seed is blown around, and if it finds a little patch of dirt and it lodges in there and the rain comes, it's going to awaken that seed. And as it awakens that seed, that little seed
is going to reach down. And it's going to grab the earth. Because it's got power in it. And it's going to pull itself down. And it's going to go further and further and further. And it's going to get wider and wider. And it's going to get taller and taller. And before you know it, there's a little tree that's growing right out of the midst of that concrete. Why? Because it's got life in it. There are some of your friends whose hearts are like concrete, whose lives are like concrete. But if you'll take the little seed that you have, and if you'll plant that little seed, the power of God is going to go with that seed, and you're going to see a difference in their life. It might not be tomorrow, or next week, or next month. It might be 10 years from now, but the power of God, the word of God, will not return unto him void. Woo! My Lord, I didn't say that first service. You guys are getting, you're getting more for your money. Am I boring y'all? Just want to shut down? No, no, no. I have only gone through one point. And I'm not even through that yet. And so he says, fear the Lord. Serve him with all sincerity, his counsel. And then finally, what's his challenge? His challenge is this. No, I was through two, so hey. I'm okay. So here's the last one. Let's take a look at it and we'll be done. He says, the people answered, as he said, serve the Lord wholeheartedly. And they answered him in verse 16. The people answered and said, God forbid. Now understand, these people haven't counted the cost. This is an emotional response. Somebody said it's an emotional response to an unthought through commitment. In other words, they hear the message and it's like, yes, yes, I'll serve God. And so what does he do? Man, this dude is a bad dude. Because he says to them in verse 9, Joshua says, after they responded, after he's given the altar call, how many of you want to serve God? They've all stood up, yeah, we want to serve God. Then he says in verse 16, you can't serve God. For he's a jealous God. A holy God. He'll not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And the people respond. And they say, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Then he says, now therefore, put away the strange gods which are among you. Let me explain what's going on. Joshua gives his sermon. He says, how many of you want to serve the Lord? They respond, yeah, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua says, you can't serve the Lord. Sit down. I mean, he knows. He knows they're not even thinking about it. And so he says, how many of you want to serve the Lord? They all stand again. Yeah, we'll serve the Lord. He says, you can't serve God. Sit down. They sit back down. And he says, now how many of you really want to serve the Lord? And they said, we'll serve the Lord. He said, okay, now we can pray. Graham Scroggie said that this is a scriptural response to an unthought through commitment. I told the early service that the first Continental Congress got together to form the Continental Army to fight against the British. And they called General George Washington in, and they wanted him to lead this new ragtag army. And they began to inform him that he would be given troops that would serve 6 months off, 6 months on. Because many of them were farmers. And they had to go home and tend their crops. They had to plant their crops. And so half of them would serve for 6 months. They'd go home. Then the other half would come. They'd serve for 6 months. And then they would rotate out. General George Washington, having heard the plan of this First Continental Congress, looked at them and said, sirs, if we are to win this war will not be won with part-time soldiers. If we're going to win this war, I must have full-time men. And so they scrapped the plan. And they said, if anybody's going to serve in this Continental Army,
He must be a full-time soldier. You know, I think sometimes we try to win the war with a part-time commitment. I'll serve the Lord when it feels good. I'll serve the Lord when things are going well. I'll serve the Lord on Sundays. I'll serve the Lord during men's group. I'll serve the Lord. God says, no. Choose you this day and every day. That's his counsel and his choice. Fear the Lord. Serve him wholeheartedly. Because God doesn't want part-time soldiers. Amen? So as we conclude this message, my encouragement to you is to consider what God is saying to you. How is God wanting to take you deeper? What are the things that God's putting his finger on your life and he's saying, you know what? That might be an idol. You need to consider putting that thing away. And whatever it is that he tells you, do it. Do it. And you won't regret it. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for these pastors. And God, you know how dear they are to my heart. And Father, I just pray for this church. I pray, Lord God, for everybody here within the sound of my voice. And even those, Lord, that are watching by the live stream. That, Lord, you would not let us live one more day. If we're living as part-time soldiers, God, don't let us live one more day like that. But today, may we jump in with both feet. May we dive in head first. And Father, may we not hold back. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and nobody's looking around, is there anybody who would lift their hand and just say, Pastor, I think God's speaking to me. And I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand and put it back down so I know who I'm praying with this morning. If God is speaking to you concerning any of what we've said, just put it up, put it back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. I want a deeper commitment to Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You don't even know how. You don't know where to begin. I want to pray with you right now. And I'm just going to ask you to join me in prayer. The church is going to help us. And we're going to pray a prayer of commitment together. Can we do that this morning? Would you pray with me? Just say it with me today out loud. Jesus, I love you. And I want you to be everything in my life. See if there be any wickedness in me and lead me in the way of everlasting life. I ask you, God, to help me put away my idols, to serve you wholeheartedly with everything that I have. I jump in with both feet. I'm all yours. I'm all in for your praise and for your glory. Change my life. Change my heart. Set me on fire that I might live for you all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. And I commit my life to you today and tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. And as many days as I have left, I want to serve you, every one of them. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you today for this church. I thank you, Lord God, for those who may have made that commitment to you, maybe for the very first time. Maybe they prayed last night, or maybe they prayed last week. God, if there's anything I understand, that this Christian walk, this walk as a believer, it's not an event. It's a process. And we choose every day. And so help us to choose you every day. Father, we love you. And we thank you for your love for us and for the plans you have for us. And Lord, I just pray your blessings upon this church. And thank you for the privilege of sowing into this church. Not just financially, but the word. And Father, help us to take the word today and be doers of your word. And not just hearers only. We pray in Jesus' name. Bless these pastors. Bless this church, I ask. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Amen.